This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a more in-depth conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a preacher from our regular half-hour Day One program. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.net.
Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Jimmy Moore, Senior Pastor of St. Mark United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Jimmy, thanks again for being with us.
I enjoy being here. It's great to be with you, Peter.
You earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in history from Emory and a Master's in History from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. What happened to move you to seminary at Candler School?
Well, the story is actually a little more complicated than that would indicate. I've loved history all of my life, and I've especially been interested in the Civil War, issues around slavery and that era, and was a history major in college. I was already considering seminary at that time, but one of my preachers, who was a mentor for me growing up, suggested that I not major in religion in college, that I would get enough of that in seminary, and so to do something else in college. And so I followed his advice and went with my one of those first loves, which was history, and got my degree in history and in Civil War and slavery issues at Emory. I actually left Emory in 1970 and went to Union Theological Seminary in New York City. In my first year of seminary, I didn't know how to write that smoothly on the resume, but my first year of seminary was in New York City, and I left Union after a year, not because I was unhappy with Union. It was a great place and a great experience for me, both the seminary and the city, but because I was going through a season of vocational doubt and discernment, and so I pulled away from seminary and went back into history, and actually went into the Ph.D. program in Chapel Hill. And while there, several things happened. I got married in the middle of that time. I began to be clear that as much as I loved history, that this was not the path that God was calling me to take, and began to be clear once again about the call to pastoral ministry. So we stayed long enough in Chapel Hill for me to finish my master's, and I do have that degree. We moved back to Georgia, and actually there was a couple of years gap there still because my wife had not finished her undergraduate work. So I worked to earn money while she went to school, and then when she got to the point of earning money, I went back to seminary and finished up. But it was that journey of trying to discern God's call. But I have known since really high school that ministry was an option for me, and have had people who told me from that time that that was something that God might be calling me to be about.
Well, as we mentioned, you're pastoring St. Mark United Methodist Church in Atlanta, and I've spoken with several of our preachers on Day One who also pastor thriving urban mainline churches. And the fact that their churches are doing so well seems to go against much of what we read and hear about the so-called ailing mainline church. And clearly there's something right going on at St. Mark, for example. So what do you think are some keys to such healthy congregational life?
There is a great book out now by Diana Butler Bass called Christianity for the Rest of Us. Mm-hmm. And she, in that book, takes on the notion that mainline churches, wherever they are, aren't thriving and can't thrive. And the book is the story of any number of churches across the country that are mainline and that are progressive or moderate in their theology and that are going great guns. And she argues in that book that part of what happens there is that in these churches is that there are practices that some of them very ancient, and it's very interesting that this is a modern movement that she's a part of, but that these practices are very ancient in some cases, many of them rooted in Benedictine spirituality or Ignatian spirituality, but that these practices are moving people into deep encounters with God and deep encounters with mission and with other folks in the world and are transformational. and are bringing new life to any number of churches. In St. Mark's case, when I was reading that book, I thought that we didn't know her book when we were doing them, but we have taken on some of those same kinds of practices, not in every way that she describes, but and I think other churches around us are doing the same thing. To me, that is part of what's going on, and that we are taking the city seriously and trying to take the gospel seriously and see how those connect, and people are being engaged, it seems.
On our regular Day One program, you explained a little bit about the history of St. Mark in regarding reaching out to the gay and lesbian population of Midtown Atlanta. And that approach to inclusion is certainly not without detractors in all of our churches. But you've been pastor of the church for 4.5 years now, and I'm curious about your own personal experience of serving a church with such a diverse and changing membership.
I knew something about St. Mark before I went, but as is true to some degree for any church, I think you can't know the full story until you get on the ground. And it was a learning curve for me at points. At the risk of sounding cliché-ish, you know, I've had many friends over the years who were gay and lesbian, but it was a little different experience to come into a setting where a large portion of our membership was from that particular subculture, and to learn how things were experienced and received and understood in that culture, and how to move both comfortably and effectively in it. So it was a journey, but it's been a good one. And some magnificent people there who have just enriched my life and who are doing great ministry in and through the church. Many of our people, as you might guess, are folks that have literally been kicked out of other churches, and they are people of great faith and have been almost desperate to find some place that would take them in and allow them to worship the God that they love, and were thrilled to find St. Mark to be such a place. When St. Mark first opened its doors to this community in the early 1990s, in some ways, we were almost the only game in town that was doing that. That's no longer the case, and there are many churches now that are, I think, very welcoming and opening in our neighborhood, and I give thanks for that. But it's been a journey, and a good one, and one I'm glad that I've been on.
What would you say to church leaders, lay and clergy, who may find themselves in similar circumstances where their church may be in a community that is diverse or perhaps different from their core membership, about how to go about effectively reaching their communities?
One of the things that made a difference at St. Mark in the early 1990s was that there were some lay people who early on were really leaders and people who pushed St. Mark to go in the direction that it went. They were drawing on something that was already a part of St. Mark's heritage, which was looking at the community around you and see who's there and what does the gospel have to offer. So there was some history to draw on, and that was already a part of our, as I've said other places, our DNA. But I think it's important to have lay people who are, if not the initiators, at least early on brought on board with such a reaching out to any kind of community. And it's important probably to remember that you're going to have some detractors, as you said, and some opposition along the way, particularly around an issue as volatile as homosexuality. We do have detractors in our, not the local church, but in the larger church. And this issue is very divisive in the United Methodist Church, as it is in other denominations, mainline denominations in the country today. And so trying to find ways to reach out and to be in dialogue with those persons is another part of what we have tried to be about. And there are some very good people who have some great difficulty with who St. Mark is and what we've done in the last 15 years. But we try to stay grounded and centered and to stay in dialogue with those persons as much as we can.
In light of all your responsibilities at this church, what what do you do to balance those responsibilities with downtime? In other words, what do you enjoy doing to reboot spiritually and mentally and physically?
Well, I go through spells where I get a little weaker on that than I should be, but it is very important, and I think if we don't know it existentially, all the evidence is just overwhelming that we need to do that. I like to walk and hike, and I try to do that with some regularity. It's been a little dicey here lately, but that's a part of my rhythm. We do have my wife and I have a little cabin up at Camp Glisson in Dahlonega, Georgia, and we try to get up there from time to time. And one of the things that I began doing about a year and a half ago was to I have a day off. It's actually in the midweek. Thursday is my normal day off, and I try to go up there as much as I can on Wednesday nights and just have that night and the next day where I can be away from things or relax. I hike the mountains when I'm up there, and it's been interesting. I told a friend that as I drive toward Dahlonega and the mountains, I can almost feel the stress falling off sometimes. I try to be regular in devotions and devotional reading and spending time with God. And I've made a new commitment this year to take all of my vacation. I've not always done that. I've always taken vacation, but I've made a commitment to take it all and to just be away and set it down. And because I think you have to have that for renewal.
Sounds good to me. Jimmy, thanks so much for talking with us.
It's a pleasure, Peter.